My name is Henry Zhang. I represent the petitioner before the BIA, also before this court. I did not represent her before the immigration judge.
But you didn't say anything in your brief, unless I missed it, about why you think that the board was required to reconsider your position. You just argue your original position. What did they do wrong in their refusal to reconsider, or in their refusal to change their original decision?
Your Honor, the reason when BIA issued the February decision, in that decision the BIA failed to mention or consider other facts. For example, the three-day detention. In that decision, they didn't even mention that one. They simply jumped to conclusions saying this doesn't rise to the level of persecution. They did not address that issue. Because I believe the 3D detention combined with other resistance constitute the level to persecution. That's why I asked the BIA to reconsider their position. And also, I meant to ask a panel decision, not a single board member decision, so address the other resistance.
But, you know, in this order from the board on the reconsideration, dated September 14, 2009, the third paragraph does quote, probably from the brief that was filed, that she's claimed that she established past persecution when she assisted her cousin to escape and for which she was detained for 3 days, that we overlooked these facts, and the board then says we considered and addressed these claims. So,
but in fact, the February decision did not address that one. They simply just mentioned the fine, the money. They did not. There are no.
Well, did you argue about the fine in your appeal to the BIA?
Yes.
Where do we see that? The government tells us you did not.
Okay. In my brief, so I did argue after total three incidents involved in this case. The first one was she was forced to submit for a pregnancy test when she was 18 years age, and the second one, the mother was forcibly sterilized, and the third one is while she was helping her cousin, and the result in a 3-day detention, also the illness.
So in the board's original order, they do say, in the course of discussing the pregnancy examination, that she was never threatened, detained, physically harmed, or threatened with such harm as a result of her failure to comply as directed. But I read that all as addressing the pregnancy examination, and that's not when you say she was detained. Then we move to second, the respondent failed to demonstrate, and so on. She aided her cousin in avoiding detection. She was targeted for harm. Then they don't say anything. They don't say she wasn't detained. They don't say she was detained. But what we do hear later in the reconsideration is that they were aware that the issue was there, and they didn't think it required relief. So it could have, as is often the case, it could have been a better opinion, but is that enough to say that the board made a mistake in the reconsideration decision?
Yes, Judge. But another thing I want to mention, when BIA consider this case, they probably analyze the law in this circuit. We have two cases, very similar situation. One is I'm sure the judge or that case. That case is coincidentally also the person was detained for 3 days and resulting in a swollen face. That's also 3-day detention. And this court says does not rise to the level of persecution.
Which case is that?
That's Dandan versus Ashcroft. That's the 2003 case. Another case is also decided by this court. It's Skalak versus INS. In that case, there's a 2-3-day detention involving interrogation, but no injury. This court concluded it was not does not rise to the level of persecution. I think the BIA mistakenly tried to follow the lines of the law in this circuit. But this case, I believe, is distinguishable from those two cases, because in this case, there are three incidents. The combination of the three incidents will actually put the petitioner in a position in the category where he has passed the other resistance to the family planning law in China. So the law, actually, this court also summarized the law, the 8 U.S.C., they create four categories of refugees. Number two, it says, those who have been persecuted for failing or refusing a coercive abortion or sterilization or for other resistance to a coercive birth control program. And here in this case, I think it's a perfect case, in my view, this other resistance. Put those three things together shows she actually publicly, not only verbally, and publicly opposed China's program. It's not just a single one. There are three incidents.
So, wait a minute. I'm aware. I lost count. I've got two. We've got refusing to submit to the pregnancy test and helping her cousin escape. What was the third?
Third is the mother was forcibly sterilized. The mother was sterilized later because...
Earlier, right?
Yeah. Okay. And also the family was fined for 6,000 RMB. That's a lot of money considered 4 months so at that time. And now it's even more. This is many years ago. So I think the family, the opposition to the birth control policy can be imputed to her because she and her siblings, the mother was sterilized. So in a recent case, this court decided in April, they talk about imputed opinion to that case. It's a little similar to that one. But this case, I think the core issues for the other resistance. The Congress amended the law. This term was included in the language, but then BIA never interpreted what does constitute the other resistance. They talk about abortion, forced abortion, talk about forced sterilization. They never develop any scope or meaning or implication of this term. The Second Circuit, in other words, also never talk about, they only mentioned the other resistance, but never developed what constitutes the other resistance, even though that's in the law in 1996.
But the term resistance has to mean something, too. So if when she was trying to help her cousin escape, when they caught her, they said, you know, you shouldn't have helped your cousin escape, and she said, you know, I would do it again. And so she resisted verbally. We probably wouldn't think that was serious. And if they took her in and questioned her and then let her go, that might be a form of resistance. In turn, she's jailed for 3 days here and not fed very well and gets an upset stomach because of the food quality or lack thereof. But, you know, I think what the board is saying here is that there needs to be something significant, you know, and her resistance seems to have fallen below the threshold it's drawing.
The BIA never defines other resistance, never set the criteria what constitutes the other resistance. But this is really a perfect case the BIA should develop or address this issue. That's why I meant to, when I received the decision, I looked at when we decided to file a motion to reconsider as a panel decision to really address this issue, but they didn't. And also the facts followed by this case was the petitioner was required to, after the hospital treatment, she was required to go back to the jail to report. But she fled, she never went back. So if he go back, he probably will jail more than 3 days, maybe another 3 days, we don't know. But we can imagine, based on at that time, at the situation and the circumstances, the government will force her because she actually helped the cousin escape, also has some kind of conflict with the official. And the another thing I want to mention, Your Honor, is when she was forced to submit her for the pregnancy test, she refused. And then the few officers took her pants down, even though they're in the bathroom, but in front of several officers. This is, I consider it also public, so he was humiliated. in that fashion as a girl, a young girl at 18 years age. It's not even a grown up. So she was she never mentioned that. We don't know whether she has any mental trauma, but certainly that's a huge insult and humiliation for a young girl who was only just reached her 18 years age. Before she stepped into the society, she had a problem. That's a huge thing for a young lady like her. So my point is that BA failed to consider the cumulative significance of hardships. Here we have three hardships clearly, and the BA failed to evaluate those the significance theory according to this court's law. And therefore, BA abused its discretion in just denying the motion to reconsider.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zhang. Ms. Damiano?
May it please the Court, Lisa Damiano on behalf of the Attorney General. Good morning to you all. This case involves one issue. Did the Board abuse its discretion when it denied petitioner's motion to reconsider? Now, Ms. Lee sought a...
Does the Board have a view as to whether she was detained?
Yes, Your Honor. In its original decision in 2007, and then its decision in February of 2009, and then its most recent decision, the Board assumes credibility. So, therefore, the Board is assuming that the facts as referred by Ms. Lee are true and credible. So the Board is, therefore, conceding that this detention, if this detention occurred, if they're assuming credibility it did occur, then she would...
What does the Board mean in its first decision when it said the respondent was never threatened, detained, physically harmed, or threatened with such harm as a result of her failure to comply as directed?
I believe the Board is referring to when Ms. Lee claims that she suffered past persecution or has a well-founded fear of future persecution based on that first incident in 2002, the Board is saying no adverse consequences came to Ms. Lee.
But she was detained. I mean, the problem is the only time the Board uses the word detention in that first opinion, February 27, 2009 opinion, they say she was never detained. Then you have this other sentence, second, the respondent failed to demonstrate that because she failed to provide a urine sample and or aided her cousin in avoiding detection by family planning officials, and it goes on, but it never acknowledges that she was jailed for 3 days. It never acknowledges that she was detained. For all we know, they didn't read that part of the immigration judge's opinion.
Well,
in fact, the board seems to be denying that she was detained because it said, because the sentence that Judge Wood just read says says that the respondent failed to demonstrate that because of these, you know, aiding the cousin, so on, she was targeted for harm. Well, but being detained and being given the gastritis for her detention, that's I would think, targeted for harm.
Yes, Your Honor.
It seems as if they just overlooked the 3 days.
Well, in our opinion, they did not, Your Honor.
What did they mean when they deny that she was targeted for harm for aiding her cousin?
Well, I believe that first sentence that Your Honor is referring to...
No, I'm talking about the second sentence.
Okay. The second sentence in the February 2009 opinion by the board is addressing the two claims that Ms. Lee that make up Ms. Lee's asylum claim.
And how do you tease out of she was not targeted for harm the proposition... We know she was detained for 3 days and got sick, but that doesn't count.
Well, we know that the board has the facts, has the record, and they know that she was detained.
No, we don't know what the board relied on or what they... Maybe they didn't believe her about this. Maybe they never read it. Maybe they never took it into account.
Oh, well, in that decision, the board does say that they're going to assume credibility.
And they're contradicting themselves.
Well, Your Honor, the statute and regulations don't require any further particularity in the board's...
Okay, the next sentence is, thus the respondent did not suffer past persecution in China on account of a protected ground. Well, you think at that point they'd say, yeah, there was the three-day detention, the one bowl of porridge a day, and she gets gastritis as a result, but we don't think that's persecution. They could say that.
They could say that. They
didn't say that.
And they did not say that, but
they didn't say that on reconsideration. When they denied the reconsideration, they didn't say that.
Well, when they denied the reconsideration,
they said they'd considered everything.
Exactly. They said they considered everything.
Yeah, but they didn't explain if they considered everything why this strange wording in the first order.
And in fact, the contradiction. They may not have to discuss everything, but if they say, you know, the sky is blue in one sentence, and they say the sky is not blue in the next sentence, we don't know what they're saying.
Well, what I believe they're saying, Your Honor, is that they assumed credibility, and that after assuming credibility, they don't feel that those events rise to the level of past persecution.
Well, don't they have to give a reason?
This is argument of counsel. This is not what the board said.
Well, in line with Your Honor's question about whether they have to give a reason, like I said, the statute and regulations don't require any further particularity in the board's decisions, nor are they required to write an exegesis on every contention, as this court has said. They're not required
to
list...
Only important ones, like being detained for 3 days.
Well, even so, they have addressed the two main incidents that make up her asylum claim. They say her role in assisting her cousin evade family planning. That, as a result of her role...
And they don't seem to understand that there were consequences that she suffered because of that.
Well, it's not listed.
That's what we see, not a glimmer.
We don't see the consequences listed, but if they are discussing her role in assisting her cousin, they are discussing, therefore, what happened as a result of her role.
How do we know that they know that?
Well,
they know she helped her cousin, but we don't know if they're aware that there were negative consequences.
Well, in the motion to reconsider denial in September 2009, the board goes back and says, even though we don't believe we overlooked these facts, again, we're saying that we considered these facts and these events do not rise to the level of persecution.
So we're supposed, if the board says in a reconsideration of order, we discussed the incident of helping the cousin escape in our first order, and we went back and looked at the first order and saw, hypothetically, not a single word about it. We're supposed to accept their word for that they discussed something when they didn't?
Not that they discussed something, but
no,
that they
considered.
I'm just saying,
my hypothetical, in the reconsideration order, they say, we've already discussed this, and then you go back to the original order and you see silence, you see nothing. Are we supposed to take the board's word for the fact that they discussed something?
Well, this court reviews the denial.
How about no or yes?
Yes.
We are supposed to, even though they say we discussed it and it's not there, we're supposed to say, well, let's pretend you discussed it?
They said that they addressed it, and in their mind, this is their addressing her contentions. Again, the denial of a motion to reconsider is reviewed for an abuse of discretion. And what that means under this court's precedent is that the agency decision will be reversed only if it was made without rational explanation or inexplicably departed
what
from
is,
established policy.
What is 5,000 yuan in dollars?
In dollars? That I don't know, Your Honor, but I can tell you that...
Well, how do we know whether this is a considerable fine if we don't know what a yuan is worth?
Well, we don't know because Ms. Lee didn't present evidence of...
Well, doesn't the board know what a yuan is worth?
The board does know,
but... Why doesn't it say so that a reader could tell whether this was some rational judgment?
I don't know why the board doesn't say what the equivalent...
They don't know what a yuan is worth.
But I can tell you that in addition... First of all, Ms. Lee does not ever...
Did the immigration judge discuss the severity of this fine in relation to the family's circumstances?
No, because The judge did address the fine. The judge also addressed the fact...
What did he say? What did he say a yuan was worth?
He did not say what a yuan
was worth. How did he explain whether it was a big fine or a little fine?
Well, what he did was he indicated that there was the 5,000 yuan. But he also indicated that the family paid 10,000 Chinese dollars or yuan for a Japanese passport. They also gave her 4,000 yuan to travel to the United States as pocket change.
Do you think the immigration judge believed that she had a Japanese passport?
The judge didn't know, but at the end of his...
The judge didn't know. What's this 10,000 yuan for the Japanese passport? I thought he believed that she was lying.
Well, he at the end of
right,
his decision...
Right, she says she traveled on a Japanese passport, which, of course, was illegal because she's not Japanese. She's Chinese, and he seemed to find that she traveled on a Chinese passport, misspelled. So what's the story there? Did they pay 10,000 yuan for a Japanese passport?
Well, again, at the end of the judge's decision, he
maybe that's all their money. Maybe they had 15,000 yuan and now they have nothing.
But again, at the end of the decision, he assumed credibility.
Wouldn't it be useful if immigration judges would, when they're talking about considerable fine, to give some sense of the magnitude of the fine in relation to the standard of living of the country or American dollars or what have you? Wouldn't that be useful?
Well, Your Honor,
Let me ask you another question. Isn't the Justice Department embarrassed by immigration Judge Braho's opinion?
No, Your Honor.
This opinion contains a number of sentences which are totally incoherent. That they're not part of the English, they're not part of any known language.
Well, the opinion is an oral decision, and while there are some instances where it's difficult to determine what Judge Brajos might have meant, the decision is not at issue here today because Ms. Lee did not petition for review.
You didn't think it was an embarrassment for the Justice Department.
I do not, given the fact that the judges...
Sorry, so here's a sentence taken more or less at random, page 11 of his opinion. So, respondent claims that she was mistreated when detained by the authorities for 3 days, that she was not fed, but yet she did admit when questioned by the government attorney that she was given porridge once a day and that the gastritis was a result of the incident in question. Well, how can that be an admission?
I think what the judge meant was that initially she claimed she was not given anything to eat. Then she came back
and
said...
Why does he say he's admitting that the gastritis was a result of the incident?
Again, I believe he was saying that she was admitting that she was given something to eat when she had previously said...
Admitted. What he is saying in English is that... She admitted that the gastritis was the result of the incident in question. Isn't that an odd characterization? It's not an admission as if, you know, she was hurting her case by saying she had gastritis.
I understand your concern. I don't read it the same way. I read it that he's saying she first said she was given nothing, then she contradicted herself and said, yes, I was given a bowl of porridge a day. And as a result, that's why I was sick or that's why I developed this condition. It looks like I'm out of time, so I'll just say in summary that the board acted well.
What does this sentence mean? This is on page 19. The respondent's fears of returning to China is not convincing, and most damaging is the fact that her cousin has indicated here that she had a child and it was born outside of the island. Apparently, the cousin is living the county.
I'm not sure what that means, Your Honor.
You're not sure? You have some inkling of what it might mean?
No,
as to what it might mean.
It might be a mistranscript. The transcriber might have...
Sorry, it's nonsense. It's gibberish.
I don't know what that word county is doing in that sentence.
Does the Justice Department ever express... The board and the Immigration Court, they're part of the Justice Department. Does the Justice Department ever express concern? Does it ever suggest, for example, that... When you when you give an oral hearing and then it's appealed, you might want to go over it and, you know, just correct the transcription errors.
It is a concern, and I understand where you're coming from, Your Honor. It's just that the caseload of the judges is such, and the personnel is such, that there is not enough resources.
Well, is something being done by the Justice Department to remedy this terrible resource lack?
I don't know, Your Honor. I mean, I know that they are hiring more, but I don't know if that will, you know, correct that particular issue that you're referencing.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And Mr. Zhang, your time expired. Would you like another minute? Do you have anything further? Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.